Welcome to Everyday Endeavors, a Christian podcast where we talk about becoming more like Christ in our everyday lives. Regardless of ethnicity, age, or sex, this podcast walks through the various aspects of life, whereby we try to mature like Christ daily. I am your host, Osasere Mafidon, and welcome to Season 3. Hello, everyone. It's Osasere.
Hi, everyone. It's Amadi.
Hi, everyone. It's Eni.
Hi, everyone. I'm Faye.
Hey, guys. I'm Nini.
And you are listening to
5 Minutes About God. Woo!
Welcome back to 5 Myths About God, where we debunk the lies and relearn the truth about our Father. So today, we actually have the privilege of learning from and speaking with Eni. Can I have some noise? So Eni, please, what is your myth or something you didn't know before?
All right. Thank you very much for that. I think my myth for today will be the idea that, and this is pertaining to God's love for us. So early on in my childhood, it was kind of instilled in my mind that God punishes us for things that we do wrong. I think that's a mindset that a lot of unbelievers, as well as some believers who are kind of on the fence, have. So when we think about like the whole condemnation conversation and how some people feel like, you know, God doesn't love them because of their shortcomings or because of something they did wrong. That's something I struggled with initially, and I actually came to believe. So, you know, I would find myself sometimes where, let's say I did the wrong things, it would be a situation where God's not really feeling me right now. I'm not going to look his way.
You thought I was feeling you?
That I was feeling, yeah. So that's something I struggled with. A particular scripture that really gave me clarity regarding this and is one of the foundational scriptures for my faith is Isaiah 1. And I really hamper on this particular chapter a lot when I'm speaking with people. But God was talking to the Israelites here. I won't read the whole thing. But he talked about how in verse... So the key theme here was the idea that they were so focused on, let's say, giving tithes, giving offering, doing their events, for example. You know, everyone was very quick to kill their goats or kill their cows for offering. But God was saying in verse 15, he said, when you spread out your hands in prayer, and he was referring to these people, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. And then he went on to say, wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. So reading up to that point, you may start to think, okay, I'm emphasizing God, there's certain things God doesn't want us to do, right? But what really like helped to seal this matter was the next verse, couple of verses, where it says in verse 18, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So this scripture really helped me understand the concept that, you know, when we fall into sin or we mess up or we do things that aren't necessarily pleasing to God, it doesn't take away from, let's say, the grace we have through Jesus Christ, right? So, and especially the last part there where it says, but if you resist and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. That helped me realize the concept that, you know, each action has a consequence, regardless of God, right? So you might wonder, like, okay, I fell sick, or let's say I did something wrong and I lost my job because of it. You might think, oh, God doesn't love me, or God doesn't care about me.
He would provide for me.
Why did he take? He took my job away because I did this. But like thinking about that scripture now, it helped me realize that it's not necessarily the case, right? Like I have to realize at the end of the day that I will face the consequences for my actions, right? And I have to separate like eternity from the physical, right? Though I'm saved by grace, I still have to recognize the fact that I will face consequences for my actions. But that doesn't change the love God has for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important aspect of that love is the fact that I'm no longer being judged by my works, ultimately, right? And what to me, I realized that what really matters in the grand scheme of things is eternity. Like everything we're doing here, you know, this one day, or going to church, like growing up, starting a family, like if you really think about it, like if you really get deep into the faith, it is so minuscule in the grand scheme of things. And that's something I came to realize, is like we're talking about eternity.
Yeah.
This is probably like 0.00001% of what it's actually going to be like. So for God to have given me the opportunity to attain eternity with him for 99% of it, who am I to complain that I didn't get the job because of this certain consequence, thing that I did, or complain that I faced the consequence for this action, you know? Because sometimes you can get to that place where like, but God, if you love me, like why didn't you still give me the job, or why didn't you still do this? And like something that helped me realize that it's not necessarily like that shouldn't be my focus, right?
Yeah.
Like what greater love than for him to send his only son to die for my sins? Because if God was to judge me for the sins that I've committed, in a way, I'm spending time in eternity with him, right? So that's something that I think is really critical for me and for my faith.
That's so good.
Yeah. I feel that's like that's so what good. A lot of people, when you're coming into a relationship with God, are like struggling with.
Like, it's so practical.
God, are you mad at me?
I think I'll just say something that my mom always tells me. She said there are principles. Regardless of, okay, we have our faith, right? But we live in earth. God's will is for us to, at the end of the day, reach eternity. But he also wants us to like be excellent here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And earth has principles. You can't be, I don't remember who I was talking to about this. And they were kind of just, I think it was one of my friends. She's from Ghana. I don't know if people will be okay with me calling their names, but Efia, shout out to you, Efia.
Hey, Charlie.
We were just talking about how, like, she was just mentioning how, like, you know, she sees a lot of people in Ghana, like, they go to church. And in Nigeria, too, I see the same thing. You know, you go to church all day, and you're not doing anything.
Mercy.
You're not working.
Mercy.
But there are principles, you know. We serve a just God at the end of the day. We serve a just God, and what you sow, you will reap. It's even in the Bible. The things you sow, that will you reap. Yes, the spiritual is important. The spiritual is the beginning. The spiritual, your foundation is Jesus. You start from there and there alone. But when you build, you need to build with the knowledge or the wisdom that you are on earth. And as spiritual as earth is, you have to sow seeds that follow the principles that are here on earth. So, yeah, that was really, really good.
Nimi, you seem like you want to say something.
Me? I just like taking it in.
Yeah.
I guess, because this person, I don't know if like how, I don't know if growing up like made me like think like that, but like I'm someone where it's like, oh, if, because like this whole thing of like, oh, action, consequence, like is something that I really try to like make myself learn really early. So for me, it was easier for me to like accept that like, oh, even like despite God's love for me, like if I've done something that, I don't know, like Faye was saying, that doesn't follow like the principles of life. Like say I have an exam and then I haven't read. And I know like God, I think whenever like I wanted to pray, I'd be like, oh God, you said you'd give me good success, and I'd like just be like quoting scripture. But it's like, I don't know if that's the Holy Spirit, but like at the back of my mind is like, but Nimi, this answer that you want to give now, where do you want to pull it from when you know like you have not studied or done like the right work? So like something like I consciously remind myself of, I think the thin line, which is also now where it goes back to what Annie was saying, is that it's almost like So that was that's like, you know how like you have reward for a good behavior. So like almost like, so now the consequence or the punishment of that behavior is like XYZ, but it's like that's not from God. Yeah. That's just from like, oh,
that's not. And I think
the cycles of life. Yeah.
Like, Holy Spirit, please help me remember what I wanted to say, because the way I just went blank.
I could talk.
Yeah, well. you can go ahead.
I think, because I'm trying to follow what you guys are saying, and I understand the first part. I think even when we look at the story of Cain and Abel, because right now I'm in the book of Genesis, we're not even, let's even go to their parents, Adam and Eve. Like, every, Nimi, you got some.
That laugh was so mischievous.
But when we look at Adam and Eve, like, we can see, like, from the beginning, and I heard from a pastor that, like, wherever we see something the first time, God is trying to say something very clear for the rest of the Bible. And it's like, their actions, consequence. Like, what they did, consequence. It didn't mean that God loved them any less.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
When God found out what the serpent did, he got his own curse. The woman got her own curse. The man got his own curse. But they got a curse. God, because he's so just, he's not dumb.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be like, oh, I'm blind to what you just did. You're killing people. Of course he still loves you, but you're going to have a consequence because we're trying to be refined and be more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So God will never leave you in your stupidity. Can I say that? Is that a censored word? I don't know.
No, no.
But you know what I mean? Like, there's consequences to our action. And God is so complex. I never want us to be like, it's separate. Like,
mm-hmm.
God loves me over here. My actions on earth are here. Everything's intertwined and separate at the same time. But I think what we have to do as believers and someone who's growing, I had to understand for myself that, like, okay, God loves me, irregardless of what I do.
Period.
The concept of grace is very much alive. That well will never dry in Jesus' name. You know what I mean? But at the same time, what I do does have a consequence. I think Pastor Michael Todd, shout out, sir. I think he said something.
TC Nation.
I think he said something like, your eternity is secure, but your destiny might not be. So what you do on earth, the legacy that you live for your children, the legacy that you live for people to come, if by God's grace, if we have that allowance, it determines on your actions. God will love you, you'll get to heaven, but whether you are a millionaire and you can provide for your kids depend on if you're stewarding your finances now at 20. We can't go and do, oh, when I'm 45 or when I'm 60, God is going to come. God is a miracle worker. Way maker. But at the same time, God values and he sees worth in when we're doing, like, we're stewarding what we're doing well. When the way you see progression is, I've been doing this, right? Like, I think everyone here, like, Faye, seeing you on stage that day when you were at church literally brought tears to my eyes because you've been doing it. Mm-hmm. No choir leader is going to come and be like, oh, Faye, get on stage, and you've never practiced, you've never went to anything. There's a word I'm trying to say. God rewards when we steward what he's given us well. So if you're doing the right things, quote unquote, as I'm doing air quotes, if you're doing the right things, he'll give you the reward for that. If you're doing the wrong things, you're going to get the consequence. It's everywhere.
Yeah. Ooh,
could I say something?
Can I just quickly, I just want to like quickly touch on the thing I was going to say. I want to say that despite there are consequences for our actions. But this is where God's love comes back in again, right? Because he's so loving that despite that action that you've taken and the consequence that you're now suffering, he loves you so much that he will provide a way out.
It won't consume you.
You know, like, even back to the Adam and Eve story, they ate the fruits, God kicked them out of Eden, and, you know, there was separation between man and God as opposed to the fellowship that was always there. Mm-hmm. But what did God do? He redeemed the whole human race. He sent his son to die for us. Like, can you imagine? He gave
character
us another way. So that is the thing about God, is that, yes, sometimes you need to learn your lesson. It's just like, no. It's just like, and I was going to point back to your thing, because I've been in situations where, like, honestly speaking, I did not read anything. Nothing. And I can tell you, I believe so strongly, Holy Spirit, I hope this is what happened, because I don't want to mislead people. But, like, I am so sure that, like, the angels, because I was singing the song, there was a song I was singing, Impossibility Specialist, Extraordinary Strategist, before the exam. And I was like, yeah, shout out to you, Mercy Chimwo. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to pass the exam. I don't care how it happens. Mm-hmm. And I kid you not, but like the questions, the previous questions, it was like they were teaching me the answers to the questions, like to the next questions. Mm-hmm. It's almost like me and the angels were writing the exam together because I was singing that song in the exam. And like it was almost like we were writing the exam together. But now this semester, God told me in summer, that was in summer, by the way. Discipline. God told me in summer, my daughter, you need to learn discipline. You need to learn discipline. Yeah. Like, you cannot always be doing God grace, mercy, mercy, help me. I will come through for you. I love you, my dear. But for the destiny I have planned for you, you need to learn discipline.
These principles.
And I think I even told someone that like I submitted my work late and I got 100% after praying in summer. This was summer. Mm. I tried that this semester.
You know what?
I lost all the marks. I mean, all the marks I was supposed to lose because it was late, right? Yeah. And also, like, with my other, like, test, like, that I was studying for, I didn't do well.
Yeah.
And I could just hear the Holy Spirit saying, I told you, you need to learn discipline. What do you think this is?
Yeah.
Like, for the destiny I have planned for you, you need to learn these principles because on earth, you need to do big things and you need these things.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
I think what I wanted to say, I don't even know how Osasore worded it, but like before, like Faye started speaking, you were talking about how, I don't know if you remember,
was
like
it how,
like the consequences, but like how you worded it, you didn't say the consequences come from God, which is like a verse, I mean, what someone told me, because like the consequences are like from how the earth has been made, and I don't even know, because now I'm trying to think, I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, we have dominion over the earth, like, what's going on? But then again, like, there are principles of the earth, and, like, that's definitely, like, a mystery to discover more about. But what I wanted to point out was that, you know that verse that says, every good thing comes from God, or, like, no, is it?
Proverbs,
the thoughts of God towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Yeah. I think just it was probably like in a Bible study that we did that, but like just going back to his word as well and like just like meditating over it, so like is like true in your heart, like, oh, every good thing comes from God, and these things God actually give us more insight to like who you are and what's going on, because like with this type of questions is like, oh, there's another verse in the Bible that says the things that happen God has allowed it. God help me not to misquote. I think it's in the New Testament, but it's like no man can receive except God has allowed it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that also ties back to like, oh, nothing happens on this earth except God allows it, because you hear people being like, oh, if God is such like an all-powerful, like omniscient God, why did XYZ happen? Why did this, that happen? And I think like that's a conversation. I don't know if anyone wants to add, but like that's a conversation we should have, because like the number of times that I've had questions like that, and like I don't want to say, oh, we can't question God, but it's like this person is hurting. You can't just leave them like that.
No, I think God loves questions, but open to you guys to answer the questions to the men in
you
the house.
To open your mouth, go and give it to somebody else. Crazy.
Sorry, I missed Nimi's parts just because I was just looking something up. But I'm just going to try. Sorry, I didn't catch the question. Maybe you can respond to it like another time. But I'm just going to tie into like everything we had said. Annie's point was just like not staying. Like, so you had mentioned that something that you had done is like maybe something went wrong or you did something wrong, but you stay in a state of, what's that state? What do we call it? I don't want to call it shame. Condemnation. Yeah, feeling condemned and all of that stuff. But you also feel like there were consequences that you had to go through. I don't know if it's just my nature, but I just gravitate towards the side of God that is always for us, which is the love and the mercy that God gives us. And so everything, I'm going to tie everything back into scripture, but there would be, let me not use the word consequence, but let's look into the story of the prodigal son. That's the best illustration of someone that, you know, decided on his own way. And, you know, he had done everything. He had squandered the money that he had got from his parents. And obviously now he was living a life that he shouldn't have been living just because he decided on his own way. But then there was a scripture, there was a verse that shows us what we should do as believers, which is not for us to even, like, believes on the part of the consequences, because it says in Luke 15 verse 17, when he came to his senses, and that was kind of like an awakening, and then he came to his father's, you know, he returned back to his father. Mm-hmm. And that's more of a guide for us, that in that moment of we have been awakened to, okay, this is exactly like, you know, the consequences that we face. We can come back to God and seek his mercy. I was so astonished by the role that Moses played. When I looked into the life of Moses as a leader, when he was leading the Israelites, for every single thing that the Israelites did, the first thing he did was that he ran to God, and the thing he said was, God, mercy. He prayed so many prayers of mercy for these Israelites for every single thing that they were doing.
He would add himself.
And he would add himself to saying, like, if you're just going to kill these people, you might as well just kill me too.
What did you do, Moses?
Like, this was someone that understood. And I know that he was at that point playing the role of an intercessor for them. Mm-hmm. But how do I also, like, inhibit that character that he had of always coming to God and asking him for mercy? Because the thing about mercy is that it's able to shield you from all those consequences, all those damages, and God is able to work those things around for your own good eventually. But the entire thing is you coming to your senses and saying, God, I can do better. Now, in that state of saying do better, I go into the story of David in the Bible. There was a very profound statement that he had when he had sinned. Obviously, he slept with another man's wife. But then obviously going back into like the entire story, he had this one verse that I always like use whenever I'm in a state of like God is correcting me, and I'm just trying to find it. He had said in Psalms 139, he said, search me, God, and know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts, and lead me in the path of righteousness, which is like, God, if you see anything that's in me that isn't of God, search me and then lead me in that path of righteousness. And if it can connect back to what we're saying about, no, I did something bad, or I feel like I didn't do what God had instructed me to do, it's like, God, I know better, lead me in the path of righteousness. And that path of righteousness is, God, help me through this process of understanding the things that you want me to understand. So if it's diligence, or, you know, being a better person, stewarding our finances, whatnot, coming back on that, a mercy of God, that I'm dependent on you and I really need your help in this area. Not by power, not by strength, not by might, but by your grace, by your spirit. And just coming back to that again. In terms of us recognizing that, you know, something is wrong, whether it's something that we did or just something's off somewhere and like we're in a state of condemnation, I always remind myself to never partner up with the enemy. Because that's the role of the devil himself, and the Bible says it clearly. The word that he uses is accuser. So if you're ever feeling condemned and there's something happening, they are the words that the enemy is bringing to you that's making you feel accused, almost condemned. And you know, the Bible tells us in Revelations, I'm just gonna look for it, Revelation, I'm trying to correct myself more because not Sean's, it's Sean. But Revelation 12 verse 10, it says, for the accuser has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. So that's the role that the devil is playing. He's standing before God and he's accusing all of us. And whenever we feel like we've done something bad and we want to stay in that, and we're just like, God, like, we can't even see the lights. It's like we're partnering up with the enemy, because that's his role. And we want to run away from that. Yeah. And then a scripture to help us, which shows us the heart of God and the nature of God, is in Psalms 103 verse 8 to 10. And it says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Again, we went back to that state of like, oh, I understand that there are consequences, but I can run back to God's mercy and God's love. Mm-hmm. And we'll come back to that state of mercy and merciful. It says, he's slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. He would not constantly accuse us nor remain angry with us forever. And that just literally summarizes everything. It summarizes everything. It has given us all the points that we need. He's compassionate, he's merciful, he's slow to anger, he's filled with love. He will not constantly accuse us. And what does the Bible tell us about the devil in the verse that we just read? It says he stands day and night before God accusing us. So whenever we stay in a pit of like, okay, I've done something wrong, and I feel like something's bad, and we're just staying in that state, we're partnering up with the enemy, and we always want to stay away from that work. But one thing I'm also learning is that Jesus himself, as we have mentioned, like, obviously we talked about God's love and everything and how he had brought Jesus and Jesus died for our sin. But one thing I'm being reminded of is like part of what Jesus is doing right now in heaven is that he's interceding for us. And he's also coming on that state of begging, just like Moses was doing when he was asking for God's mercy for us. Jesus is constantly doing that in heaven. So even right now where we feel like, okay, there's something that we should be doing better, Jesus is constantly praying for us in heaven. And the Bible does tell us clearly, just going to try and find that, of the role of Jesus. to 1 John 2, verse 1 to 2, it says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you would not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. He's our advocate," mm-hmm. and that is the role that he's playing right now in heaven, where he's constantly before God begging and interceding for us. Mm. And I just feel like when we come under that consciousness, we can partner up with God, his nature, and also the work of Jesus right now at that point in time. And again, like, if it's sin, then we can always ask God for mercy. Like, if it's sin that I'm just saying, because the Bible says that, you know, who can see God without holiness? So we need to be in that holy state to even be able to see God, to know God, who he really is. And, you know, the word is telling us that Jesus is constantly advocating, even though he has done the work of dying for us, he's now in heaven advocating still.
You know, rest.
So again, coming under the nature of God's love, God's mercy, that's just, I guess that's what really helps me. And I was in a state too where, you know, for certain reason, I was just always playing like the mistakes I had played mm-hmm. in the past. And something just happened one day where it was in the shower, and for some reason I just made a very
You know that same scene? Sorry, because I feel like what you're about to say is they're going to like tie into like my own need, and like I also like had that groundbreaking, like, oh, God isn't like that in the shower.
Oh yeah. My God, I also had mine in the shower.
And I just had this one bold statement, and it was just like, because I was always like caring about the story of shame, and, you know, this is the lesson I'd learned from it. Mm. And it just seemed like that was my narrative in life. I was just looking sad every time, and I wanted the people to learn, this is my lesson. Oh, you know, God has just been right, but this is my lesson. And I just had to remind myself, the statement I made was that I don't have to hold on to shame as if it's my birthright.
Yay.
And it was like, this
please
is not what
it.
I'm to hold
Say
on
it
to.
Please, repeat it, repeat it.
Don't hold on to shame as if it's your birthright. Mm. And I don't know where those words came from. But the moment I said it, I felt that release. It was like a weight just dropped off of me. And I was like, God, I don't have to let this be my narrative all the time. I don't have to let this be what people hear about me whenever I'm speaking to them and I want to have a heart to heart. You know, I can have a heart to heart about the truth of your word and who you see, like we are, and like how you get to see us, your own perspective, honestly. And that is my narrative. My narrative is you and your love and your mercy and all the wisdom that you keep pouring out to us daily.
That's good.
Oh, things are passed away, you guys.
Hey,
they are
passed. So, and sorry.
You want to talk forever?
No, I just want to share a Bible verse. And
please
I'm going to go.
Thank you.
Want to share the Bible verse that I also got in my shower epiphany, since it relates to love, which is like the topic that we're talking about right now. And it just says, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. And I had read that verse before, but I don't know, for some reason the shower, it just hits me like, girl, you're forgiving.
You just reminded me of a scripture I was going to point out, but in terms of condemnation, the Bible tells us that there's therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ. And it's such a bold, like, it was one of the scriptures that we took up when we were praying in church, and that was my moment of release for me. I'm like, no, there's no condemnation, because again, we're covered. We have to come to a state where we boldly say, I'm the righteousness of Christ. And in the scripture, I don't know what to pull it out. The scripture for it, I am the righteous one. I'm the righteousness of Christ. Regardless of anything I've done, I always have to see myself from God's perspective. And when we talked about consequences, there was something that was mentioned about curses, like God cursing, like Adam, Eve, and the serpent. We can go back to that, but God cursed the ground, not even man. If we read into it, he cursed the ground. But in terms of curses, we were praying one night, Faye, Nimi, and I, and, you know, I just picked up something from the Bible, like, you know, the story of, like, Balak and Balaam, and Balak had invited Balaam to curse the Israelites. Something that Faye brought up from that scripture was that, you know, Balaam said, I cannot curse those who God has blessed. But what I noticed was that every time that Balaam was given the opportunity to curse the Israelites, he would say, give me a second, let me go to God and let me speak to God. And when he returned, he would always speak blessings. And I told Faye that before this particular situation with Balaam and Balak, if you read through, the Israelites were rebelling against God to the states where he even declared with himself, God said, these are the stiff-necked people. They don't want to follow me. They are disobedient. So God knew the real state of the Israelites' hearts. He knew just how down bad they were. If we're talking about people that should have faced consequences, if not for Moses that kept on begging. yet he refused to curse them. He decided three times, given the opportunity to curse them, he spoke blessings. And these blessings carried weight. Blessings, that's the heart of God himself. So regardless of anything that we're doing, we're the righteousness of Christ. He loves us. He wants to do good. And he wants to lead us in the path of righteousness, which is obviously letting his word light our path and, you know, helping us do better and become more like Christ and like dominion takers on this earth.
That's a good way to tie it all together.
I was about to say, I mean, is there any recommendations or if you want to summarize everything that we just said today?
I think the only thing for me, just to, I guess, sort of clarify and make sure that, you know, what my myth that I explained is not misunderstood. It's not that, I want to make sure that people understand that it's not that God doesn't care about, you know, our physical life and what we experience in our day-to-day lives. But I think it's just from the perspective of the individual experiencing these things. And I know we don't have time to really go into Mimi's question, but you have to be careful about
another podcast
about the gravity that you place on bad occurrences in your life in comparison to not only the good, but also eternity, which is the love that we have through Jesus Christ. Right, but yeah, thank you so much, Imadi, for that. That was good.
Hey, thank you, Elise.
Thank you, Elise.
We have to fix that for real. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
No.
You're all glory to God. Remember,
right.
There's no me there.
Thank you, Jesus.
But no, do you actually have any recommendations? Like someone who's listening to this right now, a new believer who feels like sometimes I do feel condemned and I don't always feel good. I don't always believe that God loves me. And I feel like the consequences that I do, like I'm feeling the heat from them, even when I do pray for mercy. Like how would you, what recommendation would you give to that person? If it be scripture, like a show, a movie, like something that you've seen, something that worked for you. What would you recommend to someone?
I like that question was answered like the last 10 minutes with Amari talking. But obviously holding on to the promises that God has for us in his word. And like you said, don't make friends with the enemy, right? In those times of condemnation. And my mom actually always tells me that all those thoughts that you may get in those times about yourself or about the situation are not from God, right? Like God is not, no matter how bad you are, no matter how you messed up, no matter what you did, the thoughts that God has towards you are of good and not of evil and are onto an expected end, right? So it's important to not give the devil the room to have his way in your mind, you know, and have you define yourself by those things, because ultimately your definition is what God has defined you to be and not what the devil has defined you to be. So I think holding on to obviously God's mercy and realizing that his love surpasses whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you've done, and whatever it is that, like, sometimes it's even things that you feel like you don't deserve, right? So things that you're like, well, I was good, I was this and that, and there's a lot we could go into about that, but I think just holding on to the promises that God has for us and straying away from what the devil has to say, right? Everything you think or any thought you have, if it's not confirmed by scripture, if you can't back it up by scripture, it's not.
Toss it
it's
in
not
the garbage.
True. It's cap.
True to me.
Literally toss it in the garbage.
Yeah. That's good.
That's it.
Recommendation is read your Bible.
No, I have
read
one.
Read your Bible and study.
You know, I actually have one. Because I read Redeeming Love. I didn't even know that. Because I was going to recommend it. But I didn't know that the recommendations had to be related to our myths. So anyways, I guess the Holy Spirit made me read the book for you. But Redeeming Love by Francine Rivers is just a really nice book, and it's really interesting. I feel like you can read it even if you're not a Christian. It is very interesting, and it just depicts the love that God has for us.
Wow.
I finished the book today for like the third time, and I cried for the third time. It just shows you the story is related to Hosea and how, like, you know, he married the prostitute and he loved her. Yeah. By the way, yeah, you guys, all of you that don't read your Bible,
there's tea.
Anyways, yeah, that book, Redeeming Love, it just, it always shows me, and even now as I have like continued to walk in the faith, I see more in that book, right, about how much God loves me. And bro, like, God cared so much. And not to say that there's anything wrong with prostitutes, but like, we all know, like, everything, like, everybody believes that there are big sins and small sins, but they are not, by the way. That should be another myth. Sin is sin.
That is
but yeah, like, he was so intentional about her. He was so intentional. And I mean God was so intentional. Sure, like, the first time I read the book, I was just here thinking, like, please, God, give me a husband like this man in the book. I didn't even see the real story behind this, is that God is the one who led that man to her, you know? And even when everything was happening, and, like, obviously he loved her at the end of the day, so it was good for him too, but when God was leading the man to her, he was thinking about her, you know? It just showed me how much God loves me, us, everybody.
How Jesus loves the church. That's good.
Yeah. You'll be shocked how God is using that bad thing that you're experiencing ultimately for your good.
Your pain is for your purpose.
But that's a topic for another podcast.
Episode. Oh yeah, I think what me, I just wanted to like recommend was this sermon by Mike Todd called You Are Loved. And it was just like a very like foundational series to what, because like the devil comes like lie to us, and he's like, these things, they're just like, they're so key to like your start of like your relationship with God and being a Christian. Like, you can go deep into God, and it's like, if that foundation is not like set, it's like lots of lies and lots of like things you'll be going through just because you don't believe like a simple truth. So like, yeah, watching the YouTube video, as well as realizing that the Holy Spirit corrects, but he corrects in love. He doesn't correct with like,
please say it again, my sister.
the Holy Spirit corrects, but he corrects in love. He doesn't correct with like, so like, when you hear like these harsh words, ideally they are from the enemy. Like, the enemy is going to like want to put you down and condemn you, but like, when God wants to correct, he corrects you in love.
Sorry, I just fun fact, I think I remember there was one time like I was praying, and usually like I'm still learning how to hear from the Holy Spirit, so sometimes he gives me Bible verses, and this Bible verse almost scared me. I think I remember I called Amadi. I was like, Amadi, I think I did something wrong.
I told her that's not the voice.
Oh, mercy.
Because I read the Bible verse for him. He was like, Faye, I don't think that's the Holy Spirit.
And God,
it could be, but your own interpretation is
yeah, but he
a bit
corrects fault. In love. That's the thing, is that verse was so harsh, and it wasn't, please, it was just out of context.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Was it from the Old Testament? I don't know.
She was really scared.
Bro.
Like, sis was pondering and wondering and marinating.
Where am I? Like, God, what did I do?
Which is very interesting, because how many times do we pick up a good word and we stay on that good word and allow it to do our work in us?
Because
it's so easy.
On bad things. Psychology student.
Because it's so easy for us to like literally stay in the negative.
It's so easy to focus on the bad, eh?
And the way our brains are wired, we'll start picking. Well, the way our brain works is, from the little that I remember,
when in Jesus' name,
whatever you focus on, that's what's going to be most silly in your day-to-day lives. So if you're focusing on, if you take what the enemy says about you and you keep it, you're going to see that in different ways. So when someone says you're not that good, instead of it being like, oh man, okay, how can I get better? It's, oh no, I'm actually not good. I'm not good in this area. I'm not good in that. And then everywhere you go, that's all you'll see. And that's why God or the Holy Spirit are encourager. Is that, who's the encourager? What brands does that fall under? Jesus or the Holy Spirit?
The three in one.
Yeah, but you know, like, there's like,
is the comforter, the Holy Spirit,
helper.
I said encourager. Who's the encourager? I feel like he's still him.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's one.
They're all good.
Okay, so I was gonna say everybody, but that's why we're like so encouraged in the Spirit when we speak to like Christians who will edify you and speak life into you. Like, you're like, I'm not worth nothing. Like, it isn't. Come on, like, I have to be worth something. Like, I woke up today. You know, like, maybe God has a purpose for me. And, like, you know, your brain will start picking up the salient.
Amen. Like a whole royal priesthood, you guys.
Hey. Masterpiece.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, a quick recommendation. from the same pastor, Michael Todd, is Grace Like a Flood. That changed my, like, the way I saw Grace,
watch these
the way I saw how much God loves me. There was a pivotal moment that changed. Because I watched one episode and God was like, that's it? We're not going to watch the whole series? And I'm like, oh, okay. And I watched the whole thing and I was like, wow. I cried. Like, I was like, God, I'm so sorry for abusing your grace. But I'm so grateful that you give it to me every single day. So you have, people are listening. You have recommendations. Please do one of them. Do all three of them. Edify yourself. Add to your life today. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. This was a great episode.
It was.
It was really good.
I enjoyed it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please follow this podcast and share this episode if it was edifying to you in any way. Share it to your mom, to your grandma.
Your enemies.
To your friend. Ew. To people that are fighting against you.
Ew. Yeah, they share need it too. Spread the gospel.
And hey, don't forget to follow this podcast and share this episode. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I pray that you learned something new about God and are able to apply it into your everyday lives. Now go live out your life as a creation of God in your everyday endeavors.